So as we bring our marriage and family series to a close, I want to finish with one final sermon on the topic of honoring your father and mother. And so for this sermon, much of my focus, because of the nature of the command, is going to be upon children. And so children, make sure that you are looking up at me as I am speaking and paying close attention. Have your Bibles out and ready to go. You've been sitting patiently and you've been waiting as I've been talking about marriage and the role of husbands and wives and parents. Well, now it's your turn to get some teaching directly for you. Now, it is still for us as adults. I mean, we are all still children of someone. And so it's going to be a blessing, Lord willing, for all of us. And now this topic is very important because in the culture that we live in and in the world around us, honoring your father and mother has been totally disregarded or even abandoned. All you have to do is go to some sort of public place, the hockey rink or a grocery store, and you will see very clearly that honor your father and mother is not considered to be very important. It's perhaps the least kept commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's all over pop culture as well. For example, if you look at some of the most popular TV shows today, disrespect and dishonor of parents is not only normalized, but it's actually glorified. Take the show Modern Family. They named the show Modern Family because it was meant to represent the modern family. And what you have is a total straying from God's design for marriage. You have a wife who calls all the shots, who is the head of the home and the family. You have a father who's a complete buffoon. And you have children who have very little respect for their parents. That is a reflection of the modern family. Parents in our culture are seen as old-fashioned, out of touch, not in tune with the times. And their opinions and ideas don't work in the world that we live in. Now, this goes contrary to pretty much all of history. Civilizations that thrive have always valued the wisdom of the old, the wisdom of the generation that came before. And the older you got, the more respected your opinion became. But in our world today, it's the reverse. It's the new that is valued. And the older you are, well, the less wise you are and the less your opinion is respected. It's old and it's outdated. And unfortunately, this negative view of the things that are old in our world and the older generation itself has really culminated in one of the most, I think, vile practices of our society. The extermination of the old through what they call medical assistance in dying, MAID, which is really just euthanasia for the old people that we don't want to take care of anymore. Now, someone gets older, maybe starts getting a little bit sick, starts becoming a bit of a burden upon the system and upon their children. Well, we don't see any reason that they what can they offer? Why should they live any longer besides just suck money out of our wallets and out of taxpayer dollars? So we tell them, why don't you call the doctor? And the doctor will come and kill you. That's really what medical assistance in dying is. And so we live in a world where honor your father and mother, and the neglect of that has culminated in the killing of the old among us. This command is a thing of the past. And yet, as we shall see in our sermon, this command is very important to God. It's important enough that he included it in the Ten Commandments, and it's important enough that it is the only command that comes with a promise. Honoring your father and mother is very important to God, and so it should be very important to all of us. And so you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, and we'll see what God's word has to say about this command to honor your father and mother. Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we looked at that last part of this section. Now we're going to look at those first three verses. And this morning's sermon has 3 points. First, we're going to look at what it means to honor your father and mother. The command is simple, honor your father and mother. But what does that mean? What does it look like to honor your father and mother? That's the first point. Second, we're going to look at how we honor our father and mother at all of our stages of life. How do you honor your father and mother as a child, as a teenager, young adult, and into adulthood? And then third, we're going to look at the blessing that comes with honoring your father and mother. So that's where we're headed this morning. And as we go through, and I found this true of myself in a few areas as I was working on this, you may come to realize that you have failed to keep this command in your life. You did not, or you are currently not honoring your parents as you should be. And if that's you, and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit this morning, what you shouldn't do is brush it off and suppress it. What you shouldn't do is fall into despair and shame for what you've done, but what you should do is run to the cross. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess that you have failed. Confess that you have sinned. And receive the forgiveness that he freely offers you. And then ask him for the strength to change you from now on in your walk, that you might walk according to God's design for honoring your parents. And so, first point, what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Well, the Greek word, timao, means to esteem something highly, to revere, to bring reverence to value at a high price. See, in this world, we honor many things in those ways. You know, fancy new cars, or maybe our home and all of the work that we put into it, or our favorite toy, if you're a child, or when I was growing up, it was my prized hockey card collection, or maybe it's your stuffed animal that you just really love. We put great value on these things, and we take great care of them, and we treat them in special ways because of it. We like to show them off to people when we get the chance and say, look how great and valuable this thing is. It's so wonderful. I care about this thing so much. And the same mindset of esteeming highly, of honoring, should be applied to our parents. That's what Paul is saying. That's what the original commandment is saying with Moses. We ought to revere our parents and look at our parents and say, wow, they are such great value to me. I'm so blessed and glad that God has given me my parents. They're wise. They are caring. God has given them authority to use to teach and to train and to discipline and instruct me. They're to protect me and provide for me. They sacrifice for me. And so I'm going to give them the esteem and the respect and the reverence that they deserve. That is honoring your father and mother. And practically, that involves respecting them and honoring them with our words, with our actions and our gestures, with our attitudes, and with our thoughts. You know, honoring is something that is present both in our hearts and also in our deeds. You know, if you only honor your parents with your words and your actions, you know, saying nice things to them and obeying them when they ask you to do something, but then you go off to your room and in your mind, you're angry or you're annoyed at them, well, that's not honoring your parents. God actually rebukes the people of Israel for this in Isaiah 29, verse 13, saying, the people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. So they're saying all of these things about God. Oh, we honor God. We love God. But then it says, while their hearts are far from me. They didn't honor God with their hearts. And so we need to honor our parents, not only with our words and actions, but also with our attitudes and with our thoughts. And so things like obeying them without grumbling or complaining, listening to their instruction and learning from their wisdom, being humble and not talking back to them or thinking that you know better than your parents, being full of gratitude for them and expressing your thanksgiving to them often, asking their advice and seeking out their opinion, joyfully helping them around the home with the chores, and not speaking poorly of them to others or taking the effort to point out their flaws. See, children and us as adults, that's what it means for us to honor our father and mother. And I think we can all be doing a better job of that. Not only because God commands us to do it, but also, as we're going to look at now, the Bible sees not honoring your father and mother as a very serious sin. I know for us at first glance, we don't think it's that. I mean, I'm not murdering anyone. I'm not committing all of these other bad violations of the Ten Commandments. But the Bible sees sins against your father and mother as very serious. I think I mentioned this in a previous sermon, but in the Mosaic Law, which was the law given in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Mosaic Law has three major categories of sins for the death penalty. And one of those categories is sins against the family. And listen to this from Exodus 21, verse 15. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Or Leviticus 20, verse 9. For anyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Or listen to this one, Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey his mother will be picked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Now, these verses might come as a bit of a shock to you. I know they did to me. I mean, really? God used to give the death penalty for hitting or cursing your parents? But the only reason that they come as a shock to us is because we live in a culture where disrespect and dishonor for parents is normal. And we don't value this command in the way that God values it. We don't see the value that God has put upon the family. And we don't know how important it actually is to God. The family is the unit through which society flourishes. And at the core of that is marriage, of course, as God defines it. But then also children honoring their father and mother. And when society abandons these two things, it descends into immorality and into chaos, which we are seeing playing out before our eyes. I mean, if children won't obey and respect their parents, why would they obey and respect any other authority in society? Now, you show me a child or even an adult that doesn't honor and obey their teacher or their boss or the law or other adults who have authority over them, and I will show you a child who does not honor his mother or father in the home. Honoring father and mother is foundational to order in society. And that's why in the Mosaic Law, we're not under the Mosaic Law anymore, but the penalty was so severe when it was violated because of this reason. It's very important that we honor our father and mother. And now one quick note for parents. If you have a child who is struggling with honoring, and they come out of the womb struggling with honoring their parents, first, on the negative end, you need to not let them get away with dishonor. Dishonor and disrespect is something that we should be disciplining for and correcting as parents. Talked about that in an earlier sermon. And the earlier you do that, the earlier you snuff it out, the better. And then on the positive end, something that you are to do, make sure that you are actively teaching your children what it means to be honorable and respectful in the home. You want to tell them that it's not appropriate, for example, to speak to adults that way. You want to teach them simple things like please and thank you. You want to help them with things like, if I'm speaking to someone, you don't come up and just interrupt me. I noticed that I did that this morning. And I need to teach my children that if I'm speaking with another adult, you don't just come up and disrespect in that way. You call them out if they're grumbling when you give them commands. You give them chores around the house to be done with a joyful heart. A bunch of these simple things that sound old-fashioned, but are small ways to teach your children respect and honor. And then one last thing, and this is my opinion. You won't find this word for word in the Bible, but one thing I think is really helpful is you want to read to them old storybooks that portray children who respect their parents. There's some good modern books out there, but many of them don't portray children who honor their parents. Whereas most older books in the era that they were written in, there's going to be many characters where respect and honor of parents is just what is done and what is expected of the children. And your children will learn through that what it looks like. We want a world full of Mary Ingalls and the boys from Swiss Family Robinson, which if you have boys, read them Swiss Family Robinson. And Scout Finch, not the hooligans that we read about in books today. And so that's the first point. We are commanded to honor our father and mother, and that means respecting and esteeming them in our attitudes, thoughts, actions, and words. So now moving on to our second point, and here I want to get a little bit more practical. What does it look like to honor your father and mother at all stages of life? And we're going to look at four stages: as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, and through adulthood. So first, young children. How do we honor our father and mother as young children? We have many sitting here this morning, so make sure that you are listening up. Well, Paul tells us in the first verse of our passage, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Or Colossians 3 verse 20 says something similar. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And so if you want to act in a way that pleases God, that makes him to look down upon you and to smile at you and at the way you are acting, you will honor your parents by obeying them. And a few sermons ago, we talked about what is required in obedience. You need to obey your parents right away, all the way, in a happy way. And obeying right away means when your parents ask you to do something, you don't just wait till they come and remind you to do it again. You do it immediately after they ask. If dad says, I want you to set the table for dinner, you put your toys down and you come and you set the table right away. We obey all the way. And obeying all the way means that when your parents ask you to do something, you do it to the best of your ability and you do it as unto the Lord. If your parents say, I want you to go and clean your room, you don't just throw all your clothes in the drawer or shove them under the bed so they can't be seen. No, you fold them, you put them away in their proper place, and you obey your parents all the way. And then lastly, you obey in a happy way. When your parents ask you to do something, you don't say, but dad, but I'm too tired. I don't want to do that. That's not fun. But I really like doing this. No, you say, yes, dad, I would love to do that. And you do it with a smile on your face and with no complaining. Complaining and grumbling is a dangerous sin. So dangerous that it kept the Israelites out of the promised land. And so we want to make sure that we always obey with happy hearts, for this is pleasing to our God. And one way to combat a complaining heart and attitude is to replace that with one of thanksgiving and gratitude. See, your parents have given up a lot to serve you and to take care of you. And I know that I sound like an old man saying this, but one day you are going to grow up and you're going to have your own kids, and you will see how much your parents sacrificed for you. But I'm giving you help right now. Don't wait until you grow up to realize that. Recognize it now that your parents are doing so much for you, and be filled with the spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. Tell your parents often how thankful you are for them. When your parents give you food, even if it's not your favorite food, even if it's food that you have a hard time getting down, say thank you and eat it with a smile on your face. When dad comes home from work, come and give him a hug and say thank you for working so hard for the family. You know, the word thank you should be coming off of your mouths quite a bit as children. And so children, if you want to go home today and you want to honor your father and mother, you want to be obedient to God in this area of your life, then make sure you're quick to obey them when they ask you to do something, when they ask you not to do something, and then do it with a thankful heart, full of gratitude and joy for their love. Moving on now to teenagers. I know we have a few teenagers in the room here. How can you be honoring your father and mother? Well, you do have to obey. It's not like you become 13 and you set that command aside. But what on top of that are you required to do as a teenager? Well, the book of Proverbs has lots to say to teenagers. And most of the commandments revolve around something a very simple idea. And the idea is this: listen to what your parents have to say. Teenagers, listen to what your parents have to say. Proverbs 1 verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forget not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 13 verse 1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer has never listened to rebuke. Proverbs 6 verse 20 to 23. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. And so as teenagers, you honor your father and mother by listening to what they say and heeding their instruction for you. You know, being a teenager is a great time of discovery. You're discovering more about the world. You're discovering more about yourself. You're discovering more about God. I love being a teenager. It is a great time, but it's also a great time of temptation. It's a great time of temptation. The temptation to become proud because you're learning so much stuff. The temptation to become lazy and to spend all your time on useless things. The temptation to be controlled by your emotions, your anger, or your sadness. The temptation to be become lustful. The temptation to think that you know better than your parents. But to help combat those temptations, God has given you a wonderful tool, teenagers. And that tool is the instruction of your parents. The instruction and the wisdom of your parents to help you to grow in wisdom, to help you to love what is righteousness, and to help you to resist sin and the temptations that are going to be flying at you as a teenager. And so if your parents say things to you like, I don't think that it's best that you be hanging out around that group of kids. Or, I don't think having a cell phone right now is really going to do you any good. Or, you're not allowed to start dating until such and such an age. You don't just roll your eyes and scoff at them and say, psh, you don't know. No, listen to them. Heed their instruction. They are giving it to you for a reason, and there is great reward for young men and young women who listen to their parents' teaching. Respect what they have to say and walk according to their instruction. That's the first way you can honor them as a teenager. A second way you can honor them is as you transition from a child to an adult, in your teenage years, you start taking responsibility around the house. If you're a teenager, you should be contributing significantly to the work of the home. I mean, you should be as a child, as well, but even more so and in a greater way as a teenager. And you should be doing so without the expectation of any sort of pay or chore money for what you're doing. Imagine if your parents demanded chore money from you every time they made dinner or mowed the lawn. You would be doing those things, I think, quite a bit more often. No, simply being a part of your family means that you do the work around your home. That's what it means to grow up into a young man or a young woman. The book of Proverbs has much to say about the dishonor of a sluggard and a lazy hand. And so you can honor your father and mother by taking out the trash, by washing the dishes, by doing the laundry, by vacuuming the floor, by helping mom with dinner, mowing the lawn, and any other job that your parents ask you to do. And if you really want to honor them, you just do it without them asking you to do it. You see that dishes need to be done, so you do the dishes. You see the grass is getting long, so you go out and you mow the lawn. And you do it with a joyful attitude. And so those are two things that teenagers can be doing to honor their parents. Humbly listen to and follow their instruction, and then growing in maturity and responsibility and using that responsibility to serve your family and your household. Okay, moving on now to young adulthood. Young adulthood. How do we honor our parents in young adulthood? Well, there's two major decisions that you will likely be contemplating and encountering in young adulthood. And those two major decisions are, one, what should I do for a career? And number two, who should I marry? Who should I marry? And these are big decisions that will have lasting effects on your life, especially who you decide to marry. And so as a young adult, you honor your father and your mother by seeking their wisdom in these areas. It would be, for example, disrespectful and dishonoring to your parents if you were to, you know, go out and get engaged and then come home and say, hey, I'm engaged, without talking to your parents about it. Or it would be disrespectful and dishonoring if you were to just leave for college without first talking to your parents about career paths and what you want to do and seeking their wisdom on what they think you would be suited for. Remember, a wise son or a wise daughter listens to and seeks the advice and wisdom of their parents. And so before making big decisions and even not so big decisions, ask your parents and then prayerfully consider their response. And most of the time, what your parents advise is going to be correct, especially if they are people who sincerely fear the Lord and are seeking the wisdom of God and seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness. Now, there may be times when they are wrong. Parents aren't perfect. Parents are sinners just like us. There are going to be times when we are wrong and we should have listened to our parents. And if they are, and we're able to reason with them, through the scriptures, we very respectfully disagree with them, maintaining their honor as our parents. And so you honor your parents by seeing them as this mentor who you have the opportunity to gain as much wisdom and knowledge from before it's time for you to leave and to cleave and to form your own family. And so ask them things like, what do you think about this potential job? What do you think about maybe moving to this area for work? What do you think about, you know, this guy or this girl that I'm interested in? Do you think they're wife or husband material? Is there any red flags that you see? I know that Hannah and I, when we first started dating, I think she was maybe 19 and I was 20. After our first date, Hannah came home and she told her parents about it. And she said, okay, can you guys give me some advice on this? Should I go on a second date with this guy? Or should I stop wasting my time? What do you guys, you guys are my parents. What do you guys think about this? And thankfully, they said, he sounds good to me. Or they didn't hear her. And thankfully, Hannah listened to their advice. And now they have a daughter who has heeded their wisdom and their instruction and is in a loving and flourishing marriage. And so as a young adult, your parents can spare you a lot of pain and help set you on the right path. And so honor them by seeking out their wisdom. And now finally, let's move on to our last stage of life. How can you honor your parents through adulthood and into their old age? Well, we're told in Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. The word for despise is neglect. Do not neglect your mother when she is old. You see, as adults, we are still called to honor our parents and not to look upon them with any sort of contempt. You know, our lives change when we grow up. We form a new family and our priorities have shifted to that family, rightly so. But we don't forget about our parents. We don't forget about them. They should still be a part of our lives. For example, Proverbs 17, verse 6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged. And so we should allow grandparents to put on that crown, to enjoy their grandchildren and to play a role in their lives. We should check in on our parents. We should invite them to our homes. We should make sure that when they put forth an effort to organize all of the siblings to come together, we honor them by giving them our time. They've given many of their years to raising us, and we don't just forget about them as if they didn't exist and grow up and move on. And then, in their old age, we don't neglect them, or we don't seek to rid ourselves of them. And Jesus addresses this in Matthew 15 when he's talking to the Pharisees, and this is what he says. He says, "And why do you disobey the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother, and whoever insults his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say, 'If someone tells his father or mother, whatever help you would have received from me, it is given to God. It is Corban. And he does not need to honor his father.' You, the Pharisees, have nullified the word of God on account of your tradition." And so essentially, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, instead of looking after their parents in their old age, they were taking the money, the goods, the property that would have been used to help their parents, and they are devoting them to God, which essentially means they are still able to use these goods or property or money, but they've given up their right to give them away because they've given them to God. And so they couldn't then give it to their parents when their parents needed it. It was a way in which they could find a little loophole and get around taking care of their parents in their old age. And now in Jesus' rebuke of them, it is implicit that children are required to take care of their parents when they're older if they're to keep this command. That's why he's rebuking them. He's saying, you're not keeping the command to honor your father and mother. And you're not keeping it by not taking care of your parents in their old age. And so we see that this is not a command that ever expires. Just as your parents once fed you, you may now need to feed them. Just as your parents once sheltered you, you may now need to shelter them. Just as they once wiped your bum and changed your diapers, you might need to change theirs as an act of love and honor towards them. And we want to make sure that when the time comes, when our parents need to be honored in this way, we are prepared to do it. I'll give you one example. Let's say you get offered a new job, and this is a great job. It comes with extra pay, but it's at a location far away from your parents, and one of them isn't doing well health-wise. Well, before taking that job, you need to think and you need to pray deeply as to whether you will be able to honor your parents from 1,000 kilometers away. I'm not saying that you can't, but maybe you can't, in which case you obey the command of God rather than doing what's easier or better for yourself. You have a responsibility to your parents. And if you're going to move, you'd better make sure that your parents are being taken care of adequately. That'll involve coordinating with your siblings, maybe helping financially to build an addition on one of your siblings' homes so your parents can live there, making arrangements for them to be involved in a good church, making sure that everything is in place for them. I'm not against old folks' homes. Some people need them and need the care that they provide, and there's some great homes out there. There's some great homes in Smiths Falls. You can honor your father and mother in their old age, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you must live in the same home as them. But I do think that in our culture today, many people have used old folks' homes as an excuse to not take care of to not take responsibility of taking care of their parents in their old age. Their parents would like to live with them. Their parents would like to be around them and the grandchildren, but it's too much of an inconvenience or an annoyance to do so. And so they're placed in an old folks' home where they get visited once every month by their children. You know, it should be a joy for us to honor our parents and to serve them in ways that they truly desire, that we would serve them. And so hopefully there's some beneficial application for you there as we look at how to honor our father and mother in all stages of our life. And maybe after hearing this, you've come to realize that this hasn't been your attitude toward your parents. You don't honor them in deed, in attitude, in word, or in thought. And if that is the case, I encourage you first, bring that before the Lord in repentance. We know, we've seen that this is a serious thing to not honor your parents, and you need to confess that to Christ, knowing that he has forgiven you. And then second, go and make it right. You know, send a message or make a phone call to your parent. I remember one night our girls were fussing around and they all shared the same bed and they're fussing around. So I had to move them into three different beds so that they would go to sleep. And then picking one up out of her bed, carrying her to put her back in her bed so we could sleep. And I just thought how thankful I was for my dad and my mother for doing things like that for me. But I'd never said anything to them. I'd never honored them by letting them know how grateful I was. And so I sent my dad a text that evening. Whatever you need to do to go and make it right with your parents, go and do that and take practical steps to start honoring them as you should be. Now, moving on to our final point, very quickly, we see that there is a tremendous blessing when we take up this command to honor our father and mother. Look at verses 2 and 3 again. It says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Just as there was a great penalty for not honoring your father and mother, there is a great reward when you do. And though the original promise was given to the Israelites in the Ten Commandments, Paul here says that the promise still stands. And the promise is that you shall live long in the land. You see, if the family unit is characterized by this type of honoring, then those who walk by it will flourish generation after generation on the earth. If you honor your parents, your children will learn how to honor you, and their children will learn how to honor them, and there will be left a legacy of strong families living in the will of God. But I do think that the promise goes even further than that. Not only shall we inherit this land, that those who live according to this will be the ones who inherit the greater land that is to come, the greater kingdom that is to come, the new heavens and the new earth. Now, we don't earn our way to heaven by how well we honor our parents, but our salvation is evidenced by how well we do that. That's a sign that you have been born again and made new by the Spirit. It's what characterizes the people of God. And the new heavens and the new earth will be full of people who have heeded this command and therefore receive the glorious promise that comes with it. And so I hope you see this morning that honoring your father and mother, it's not a small command. It has eternal consequences and rewards. Well, as we bring our series now to a close, I pray, and I will continue to pray, that our study on marriage and family has been a benefit to you, that you've soaked in what God's word has to say on these things, and that you have a renewed desire to walk according to it. Family is so important to God, and no matter where you're at, whether you're a child or whether you're getting old, you can honor the Lord in obedience to his word in these areas. And so let me pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for this whole series that we've done on marriage and family. We know, Lord, that it's very important to you. And we pray, Lord, that you would build our marriages into strong marriages. We pray that you would build our families into strong families. We pray, Lord, that we would seek forgiveness in areas where we have failed, and that we would seek strength to pursue in areas that we need to grow in. And I pray, Lord, that you would be gracious to us. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are a gracious God and that you are the one who restores, you are the one who works, you are the one who makes things into things that are beautiful. And we pray that you would do that, Lord. We ask for your strength. We ask for your power. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to leave here as, as people who honor our fathers and mothers, and that we may inherit not only this land here, Lord, but the land that is to come. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.